3 a.m. Tales of Terror contains explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello and welcome to another episode of 3 a.m. Tales of Terror, where we tell you stories of the paranormal. So, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Kenny.
And today, Eli's here. Get in your chair.
Our director.
Yeah. Our director's here. Get in your chair. Okay. So today we're going to tell you the story of the Pfister Hotel in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And La Fonda on the Plaza in New Mexico. It's a hotel? Yes, it's a hotel. So
every time you say La Fonda, I just think of Napoleon Dynamite.
Is that why you just kept saying it like that?
La Fonda.
Oh my god.
La Fonda's the name of the brother's, you think is made up girlfriend? Turns out she's like this super hot black chick.
Oh my god.
That's into nerdy white guys.
Oh.
And she's real.
I've never seen that, and I don't.
Napoleon Dynamite is from your era.
I know, but I didn't watch it.
Tragic, cult classic. It's great.
You'd be all right. Okay, so first we're going to tell you about the Pfister Hotel, and I'm assuming that's how you say it, but hey. Okay, so Pfister Hotel's history of hospitality. In the bustling downtown of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, there are plenty of hotels and smaller B&Bs to choose from. But only one can take the title of ritziest lodge in town. From Milwaukee, that title is indisputably held by the Pfister Hotel. The hotel's stately, cream-colored exterior exudes a special aura of Gilded Age decadence that invites all who lay eyes on it to visit and spend a night or two in urban luxury, even though it has been a fixture since the 1890s. In that time, plenty of guests and workers have come and gone, but some people say that not everyone who comes to the Pfister Hotel leaves, and that some spirits remain there forever. Dun, dun, dun.
So it's the Hotel California?
Yeah. You can come, but you can't leave.
You can never leave. Sorry.
And so this pretty much just goes through, like, different years that the hotel was, I guess, stuff happened during certain years. So, 1889. Milwaukee in the late 1800s was a rapidly growing city due to an influx of predominantly German immigrants. One of these immigrants was Guido Pfister, who, along with business partner Frederick Vogel, founded a prosperous leather shoe company in the city. By the 1880s, Pfister was successful enough to invest in other local businesses, but his dream was building Milwaukee's finest hotel. Though Guido Pfister died in 1889, before that dream was fulfilled, his son, Charles Pfister, took over and set out to achieve his father's vision. 1893. Under Charles Pfister's directions, the hotel went up quickly, costing an estimated $1 million at the time. The new Pfister Hotel spared no expense. Opened in 1893, the state-of-the-art hotel included modern amenities of the era, like electric lighting, fireproofing, and thermostat controls in each room, which that's nice. Adding to the upscale of the hotel's charm was a wide array of Victorian paintings collected by Charles himself, making the Pfister the biggest hotel-based collection of Victorian artwork in the world. I'm assuming you looked up what $1 yes. million dollars was.
Yes, I did.
What is that?
So in 1893, $1 million mm-hmm. with inflation yes. to 2025 is $35,296,777.78.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
Inflation's a thing.
Yeah. I was like, I saw you pull your phone out and I'm like, he's going to look it up, so I'm just going to keep reading.
1897. The luxurious hotel struggled after its grand opening, as a hotel of that size and opulence was quite new for Midwestern cities outside of Chicago. But the hotel's reputation soon spread, and far-off travelers began reserving rooms at the Feister well in advance. The hotel was also assisted in its early years by hosting big regional events, such as a convention for the Wisconsin Republican Party, as well as hosting big names of the time, like then-President William McKinley, in 1897. 1927. As the Feister Hotel saw greater success, Charles took a more active role in managing the hotel. He opened a modest, Prohibition-era pub in the hotel named the English Room in the 1920s, and even concocted his own special drink for the hotel bar named the Indian Punch. Charles was poised to remain the figurehead of the hotel's operations, but life had other plans. Charles Feister suffered a massive stroke in the spring of 1927 and died in November of that year, 1962. In the years that followed Charles's death, the Feister Hotel continued to function, even managing its way through the Great Depression and World War II. But by the late 1950s, the historic hotel had started to show its age, and newer hotels were stealing away needed business. In 1962, the aging hotel was purchased by Marcus Corporation founder Ben Marcus, who hoped to revitalize the elegant inn. Along with restoring the old hotel building, Marcus added a 23-story expansion to the building, helping bring it back to profitability.
23.
Just a small add-on.
Yeah.
23 stories.
The tiniest.
Profit.
So, Feister Hotel, a home for stars or spirits? Since being bought by the Marcus Corporation, the Feister Hotel has thrived thanks to regular maintenance, careful restorations, and its position as one of the most upscale hotels in Wisconsin. Along with attracting far-flung travelers and well-to-do executives on business trips, the Feister is a popular reservation with MLB teams, Major League Baseball, for those who might not know, MLB teams visiting to play games in Milwaukee. But the Feister Hotel today is known for more than just its luxury and history. Some guests, including many MLB stars, are convinced the Story Hotel is haunted. Feister Hotel's electrical oddities. Some of the most famous ghost stories around the Feister Hotel come from Major League ball players lodging there. One of the earliest reports of paranormal activity was from a visiting MLB player who came in 2001, when a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers reported their TV turning on and off throughout the night and strange knocking on their door in the middle of the night. Since then, both MLB players and regular guests have reported instances of TVs, radios, and other electronics turning on and off without warning. There's also phantom footsteps at the Feister Hotel. Along with the electrical malfunctions reported in guest rooms, the sounds of disembodied footsteps are also some of the most common paranormal reports at the Feister. Michael Young of the Texas Rangers baseball team had a well-known encounter with these mysterious footsteps after a game in Milwaukee. He was supposedly woken up multiple times in the night by loud footsteps that, over time, evolved into stomps around his room from some unseen force.
Feister Hotel's messy mysteries. Other guests sometimes report that things are moved around their rooms while they're out, sometimes entire pieces of furniture. Another Major League Baseball player claims that they thought they had laid out clothes neatly on a hotel room table before heading out for the day. They returned to find the clothes strewn about and table pushed to another side of the room. No defined cause for this has been found, and over time, more guests have reported similarly shifting objects in their room. Okay. Do you think, because of the whole haunted thing, that they're having, like, maid service or, like, cleaning staff mess with people's stuff to keep, like, the the spookiness of the hotel?
I mean,
if it was happening early enough in it to where, like, the haunted stuff didn't happen, okay, that would be weird,
mm-hmm.
especially if nothing's stolen. Because it's not like, oh, somebody ransacked my hotel room, everything's stolen, it's gone.
Yeah, that part, but, like, what about the footsteps that nobody can attest to?
Well, yes, that, but, I mean, you could have some, like, stuff like that, and then you could have management being like, hey, man.
Go mess with these people. Especially the people, like,
Major League Baseball players.
Famous people, yeah.
Because you know they're going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, hey, man, I'm staying at this hotel right now, and it's super haunted. And you have freaks like us that are like, I'd stay there.
Yeah.
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Apparitions of the Feister Hotel. Going along with all these paranormal claims are reports of apparitions. More specifically, the apparition of Charles Feister himself. Some guests have claimed to see a shadowy specter of a man matching Charles's description, lingering through halls and occasionally appearing in certain guest rooms. Others have spotted shadow figures that don't quite look like Charles, but many attribute that activity at the Feister to Charles's ghost alone, haunted by the spirit of hospitality. The ghost legends around the Feister Hotel have continued to grow in recent years, and while some Major League Baseball stars might call the hauntings troublesome, others seek out a Feister reservation just to examine the hotel's haunted lore. But despite years of popular legends and Major League Baseball ghost stories, management at the Feister Hotel is understandably more interested in the spirit of hospitality than actual spirits. So you're not likely to find many events promoting the hotel's spooky history, and while a paranormal run-in at the Feister isn't assured, you're still likely to be haunted by the hospitality that the hotel staff worked tirelessly to foster. So,
or they do have them mess with the head.
Yeah, so that's my whole thing, right? It's 'cause mm-hmm. it's like, okay, we know people think we're haunted.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like more Major League Baseball stars are being messed with.
Well, I think one reason for that, I think, because Milwaukee is,
well, yeah.
You can play, there's a big stadium there that they go to.
Right. But then for a hotel to blatantly come out and be like, we're not haunted.
Yeah.
We'll haunt you with our hospitality. Aha, aha. Like, most of the time, it's like all the other haunted hotels we've talked about in America
mm-hmm.
are like, hey, just to let everybody know, we're haunted. These are our haunted rooms. We have normal hotel rooms, mm-hmm. but just to let everybody know, we're haunted. They don't throw big, like, Halloween parties and, you know, paranormal spook fest,
like,
stuff like that.
You can stay in this room, but we're also not liable.
Yeah, just to let you know, shit's going to get thrown at you.
Yeah.
You're going to come in and stuff's going to be messed up. But that's why there's a little star on the door.
Right.
Everywhere else, you're golden.
Mm-hmm.
This hotel's, like, doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You know who else denies stuff? The feds.
Yeah.
You know what happens? It all comes to light.
Yeah.
So, I still think they're doing it for, like, the, hey, people are coming here because we're haunted. Yeah.
And it's mostly famous people that go there.
And if we deny it, it looks like we're covering it up, which brings even more people in because they're like, we're going to find the truth is out there.
Yeah. Okay, Zach Baggins. Baggins.
The truth is out there.
They got the information from the Feister Hotel on, I think it's just hauntedus.com. I'm not sure. I just put the link. There's no website. So our next story is
La Fonda.
La Fonda on the Plaza.
You gotta say it one time.
La Fonda.
La Fonda.
On the Plaza. So it's in New Mexico. So we're staying in America this episode. The word La Fonda means inn in Spanish, and it is the only hotel located on the historical Santa Fe Plaza that has long been the center of activity. The hotel has had several names since its beginning: the Exchange Hotel, the Fonda, the U.S. Hotel, and the La Fonda Americana.
La Fonda.
The outside and inside definitely has a high-end Spanish/New Mexican flair in decor, simple yet elegant. Inside this upscale hotel, the wood-beamed huge ceilings and the glorious tile, fireplace, and furniture to match all work together artistically in the lobby. There are staircases going up to the second and third floor. There are 172 rooms and suites in this three-story hotel. Each guest room offers a different experience, featuring a plush bed adorned with hand-painted headboards, as well as handcrafted furnishings and original artwork. Many rooms offer glorious views of the Cathedral Basilica.
Basilica.
Basilica. Basilica.
It's not a ballista. It's not a weapon. It's a basilica. It's a place of faith.
The Cathedral Basilica of St. Francis Assisi, giving the feeling of being back in another historic era. other rooms have views of the Loreto Chapel and the mountains, adding a relaxing aura to the guest stay here. La Fonda on the Plaza also has a glorious spa, including massage. Their website makes this experience most enticing. A quote, experience a luxury of La Fonda on the Plaza through enticing massage and body treatments offered at the hotel. Created exceptional massage and body therapies that provide an express pass to relaxation, combining an array of treatments to create the most soothing experience. So you can get a nice massage at this hotel.
I don't understand people that go to spas and massages, man. I just don't do nothing. Maybe I'm too autistic.
Yeah, because you don't like really being touched.
It's not even that. It's just sitting down. Like, if we lay in bed or whatever and you're touching my hair and stuff like that, it just doesn't do anything for me. It's not like I'm like, yeah, this is it. I've made it.
No, it's like getting your nails done. It's like, oh, you're getting pampered. And then, like, you, like, rub my hair. I'll fall asleep. Scratch my back. Fall asleep. Like, I love it.
I know all you do is sleep. I look at you wrong, sleep. Look at you right, sleep.
Yeah. Located off the main lobby is the hotel's restaurant, La Plazuela. That is it. Located in the center of the La Fonda on the Plaza. In 1922, it originally started out as the hotel's open courtyard, but was enclosed in 1976. On the website, they proudly state, fresh and flavorful, La Plazuela takes an innovative approach to New Mexican cuisine, cooking up traditional recipes with an enticing new twist. They describe the interior decor as well, saying wrought iron chandelier and lofty foliage, all encircled by hand-painted windows, evoking the style of the Southwest.
What's that word again?
La Plazuela?
Nope.
La Plazuela. Wait, what? La Plazuela. That's what it is.
Plazuela.
La Plazuela. Oh, we'll get there eventually.
It's done now, so. Oh. Now we're going to talk about the history. Location, location, location. Since the Spaniards founded Santa Fe in 1607, there has always been an inn or fonda on the strategic corner property located right in the center of town. The Santa Fe Plaza. The adobe building, called La Fonda, was the center of hospitality and loved by its guests and townspeople from its very beginning. It was a popular place to stay for travelers, explorers, soldiers, gold seekers, gamblers, and politicians through the 19th century. Enduring adventures through the Mexican-American War, the Civil War, the coming of the railroads, and New Mexico becoming a state in the USA. Through it all, it became a beloved Santa Fe landmark with its 46 to 55 rooms, bar, and entertainment area. The original adobe building, at some point, was the town courthouse. The convicted were hung in the lobby, they say. Tight. Speeding ticket. Hang.
That's creepy.
No, you always hang out in the lobby.
That's not funny.
It's pretty funny. It's a little morbid.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. Throughout the years, the hotel went through positive improvements and declined into a fixer-upper opportunity as well, but the location kept an inn on this spot. It was rebuilt and remodeled throughout its history to make it a productive property that mostly made money. William and Mary Donahoe operated the place from 1833 to 1837. By the time 1846 rolled around, the hotel was described as a dive not well ran. It kept financially alive by its saloon, gambling hall, and hapless travelers who didn't know any better, this being the only inn in town. At this time, the entrance to the hotel lobby was on the corner, with an inside door leading to the saloon. There was a long inside courtyard in the middle of the building, with a high fenced-in corral in the back for horses. Respectable folks would have stayed clear. In 1848, the hotel received some new energy when it was sold to the new owners, who changed the hotel's name to the U.S. Hotel. The gambling hall continued to be a strong source of income, drawing in U.S. military personnel, professional gamblers, and visitors willing to try their luck. In 1867, the hotel was sold yet again and became the Exchange Hotel. By 1900, It was, again, a real fixer-upper opportunity. Part of it was a butcher shop to make ends meet. So, it's been a courthouse, a hanging hall, a hotel, a...
A gambling hall.
A gambling hall. A corral.
Yeah. Yeah.
Up to this point. And we're not even in the 1900s.
And a saloon.
And we're not even in the 1900s yet. We have We have not made it to World War I, Great Depression times.
We're about to be.
I'm just saying.
By 1922, the beloved La Fonda's structure needed to be replaced. Being over 300 years old and too far gone to repair, a new, beautiful, upgraded structure designed by architects Mary Elizabeth, Jane Coulter, and John Gaw Meme was built using authentic hand-carved beams, stained glass skylights, terracotta tile, hammered tin chandeliers, and a 25-foot cathedral ceiling, creating a new romantic aura that wasn't there before. It became a dazzling, beautiful upscale hotel with gracious hospitality that caught the eye of the Atchison-Topeka-Santa Fe Railway suits who bought La Fonda in 1925. The La Fonda was expanded to have 156 rooms to take care of the tourists arriving to see the Indian detours.
Sorry, I looked up Mary Jane Coulter.
Mm-hmm.
Because she, Jane Coulter.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote papers about her in college.
Oh, okay.
She does a lot of really cool, so like most of her architectural stuff mm-hmm. is still used in like national parks and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's all stone exterior structures and it looks very, like when you think of a New Mexican.
Yeah.
Like, oh, but this building's style. Old. Yeah, it's the style. It's like that castle-y New Mexico stone outside. I was like, I know that name from somewhere. Yeah. I wrote papers about her.
La Fonda was then leased to a Fred Harvey and became a Harvey House, being near the railroad station. Harvey Houses existed all along the railroad stops for many years. It continued to be a hotel with high standards, fine dining, and excellent service by the well-trained Harvey girls who lived on site. Now it's a railroad station house. This La Fonda Harvey house lasted until 1968 when it was bought by local Santa Fe businessman Sam Ballin and his wife Ethel. They added the Lumpkins Ballroom on the second floor in 1990. In 1998, they expanded again and constructed the La Terraza Banquet Room and 14 luxury rooms and suites on the third floor. They owned La Fonda until 2014. They decided to sell La Fonda to their close, trusted friends, Jennifer Kimball and Philip Wise, and his company, Sienda Partners, which has left La Fonda on the plaza in very good hands indeed. Now we get into the spooky stuff.
The history of manifestation. The spirits who stay here are not a happy lot, but still enjoy the beauty of La Fonda on the plaza, which may help them to forget for a moment what happened to end their lives. Spirits who attach to the land where they died will stay even if the original structure is torn down. They can just move into the new structure that is built on this land. A few spirits who are residents of the current La Fonda met their death in the 19th century La Fonda structure. Sometimes spirits have regrets about their own behavior or the behavior of others that led to their deaths, leaving them restless or angry at themselves. One fateful day in 1867, the Honorable John P. Slow got into a heated argument in the old 19th century Exchange Hotel lobby with Captain Reinerson, member of the territorial legislature of Donna Anna County. It ended with the Honorable John P. being fatally shot after the good judge insulted Captain Reinerson. Reinerson was tried in court, but found to be innocent. Being murdered in the heat of emotion or hatred can cause restless spirits. Victims can't accept their deaths, and when they are looking forward to their life with others, a young bride on her honeymoon was murdered by a vengeful ex-boyfriend here. Adultery is a dangerous business that often leads to murder in moments of uncontrolled distress, betrayal, and anger. A Santa Fe politician walked in on his wife and a man amorously involved in a lover's embrace in bed. The politician killed the man. The politician was hung from a tree in the then open courtyard that is now enclosed, that is now an enclosed restaurant, La Plazula, located off the La Fonda Hotel lobby.
So it sounds like the La Fonda on the plaza was the place for people to go to
hang out
and sleep with somebody who's not their original significant other.
It was just the one, though. The one politician. The other one, she was married. It was her ex.
Yeah. And so, hold on. The judge was shot.
Because he insulted somebody, and they found him innocent.
People who are executed by a bad hanging, slowly strangling to death, can haunt the place of their death, especially if they suffered from quick street justice or thought they received too harsh a penalty. When the adobe building was a courthouse, many convicted people were hung in the lobby space. A cowboy from Texas on a mission of vengeance for death of his friend in the hotel bar came in and shot two people before he was stopped. They hung him from a tree, either behind the La Fonda Inn or in a tree in the plaza. The politician who murdered his wife's lover was hung from a tree either in the hotel's backyard or in the then open courtyard that is now the enclosed restaurant. Spirits who ended their own lives often find that they are still upset and haven't found peace, perhaps afraid to go to the other side. Sometimes they feel compelled to relive their suicide. The gambling hall that was once here and the bar have been a source of bad experiences, and many lost their fortunes and tried to escape their financial woes by killing themselves. One such person, a salesman who partied too hard and gambled away his employer's money, was filled with remorse and guilt and jumped into the courtyard's well to drown himself. A couple on their honeymoon met disaster here when the groom had too much to drink and got in a fight. He was shot in the back while going up the staircase to his room. His bride shot herself on the staircase.
So they could be together forever.
I don't get that. My goodness. So, manifestations. Many spirits who reside here who enjoy watching the living eat and drink like to appear during an evening dining experience in the main dining room and the third floor restaurant. So, the spirit of the judge, his restless spirit, who must be haunting the land, has moved into La Fonda on the plaza. The spirit is seen and heard, wearing his long black coat, pacing the halls, stairways, and the lobby. Perhaps he regrets his argument with the hothead who shot him. He was not convicted of killing him. So we don't know. We weren't there.
No. He was found innocent of murder. They didn't say he didn't kill him.
That's true. But still.
The spirit of the enraged husband hung from a tree in the courtyard, or perhaps the lobby area. He may like to stay in his old room or lobby, or keep the suicidal spirit company in the courtyard dining room. The spirit of the suicidal salesman, his visual apparition hangs around the old courtyard, now the restaurant where he died, and is compelled to repeat his suicide by disappearing into the floor where the courtyard well once existed. Some say that the well was where the fountain was installed, though the fountain has been taken out. There is still a remaining picture of the well foundation still in the courtyard restaurant.
If I saw that, that would freak me out, just disappearing into the ground. But, like, I get it, because he's trying to relive his suicide. Like,
I don't think he's trying to, so the whole Catholics believe that you go to purgatory and you have to do that. It's an in-between heaven and hell. Because I believe in most religions, they believe that suicide is, like, the ultimate sin, punishment, whatever you want to call it.
I would think so.
The spirit of the murdered bride. Perhaps reliving her wedding and reception at this hotel, mourning her own death and interrupted new life with her beloved because of a vengeful ex-suitor. She wistfully likes to still enjoy the beautiful bridal suite, room 510. She's also been seen in the lobby using the elevator and the basement. The spirit of the suicidal bride has been spotted on the stairs, reliving the horrifying moment of her beloved collapsing and dying. The spirit of the cowboy. Apparently he enjoys being in the hotel bar, shocker, between 2 and 3 a.m. and finds ways to let the living know he is there, a friendly presence.
Oh, how nice of that little cowboy.
And don't worry, the spirit of a bartender keeps him company.
Oh, that is so... That's kind of sweet.
I'll take 3 ghost whiskeys.
Okay, so is it still haunted? Most probably so. A lot of death and tragedy has happened on this property. La Fonda on the Plaza is head and shoulders above the original inns that were built here. We can see why spirits would be drawn back to enjoy the beauty of the place. Staff and guests who had personal experiences know that the hotel is haunted. They know what they saw and heard. 2 brides had disastrous experiences. Death penalties have been carried out here, and people have been murdered on this property. A paranormal investigator caught a lot of evidence on his second floor guest room. However, SGHA Paranormal Group have some doubts on some of the claims, saying that some claims do qualify as just being urban legend, perhaps started by the staff. Their research claims that there was never a well in the courtyard, but others have taken pictures of the old well foundation still in the floor. They also could not find anything in old newspapers on some of the other deaths, like the remorseful gambler. However, many people who lost at gambling would kill themselves. Perhaps these deaths were not newsworthy. Sometimes the staff saw witnesses back out of what was reported, claiming it was misreported, perhaps regretting sharing their experience.
I think that they wouldn't. You would not want a hotel casino to post in the news that people are killing themselves from losing their fortunes, because you want people to assume that they can win a bunch of money,
right,
and have a good time. So yeah, of course you're going to cover.
Yeah, so if people are losing their money there and then they're killing themselves
and then hanging themselves or jumping in a well or whatever, you're not going to be like, hey, I just want to let you guys know,
you might lose a lot of money here and kill yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Because then people just won't come.
Yeah, so SGHA did say that probably the good judge is still there, but question how people can identify him by his long black coat. So you can read the SGHA's PDF for yourself. However, they may very well be wrong. It wouldn't be the first time paranormal investigators think that they have debunked hauntings but were mistaken, or claimed that the place wasn't haunted because they didn't catch any hard evidence. Perhaps more investigators will do their own private investigations and provide more hard evidence. But I can see them also being like, hey, we learned about this in the, you know, the gambling place, but like, I don't know if you want to report it because I know you want money. So,
or they paid somebody to just not report it.
That too. So who knows? I got all of my information for La Plaza, La Fonda on the Plaza from hauntedhouses.com. So that's all I got.
I think it'd be kind of cool to be eating a steak dinner and then watch a dude just disappear on the floor. It'd be kind of cool.
That would still scare me. I'd be like, what the heck? I'd be tripping. Like,
tripping?
Tripping.
Okur? I can't roll my R's.
I know. It's probably going to sound really bad to somebody's car radio. I'm sure
it's not going to be sharp at all. It'll be fine.
Okay. Well, that's pretty much all I got for you today, this week. As always, I'll post pictures on Instagram that then get put to Facebook. If you have questions, comments, concerns, story ideas, please feel free to reach out on both Instagram, Facebook, both at 3 AM Tales of Terror. We also have an email, the number 3 AM Tales of Terror at gmail.com. Those are currently the only 3 ways you can reach out to us, but please feel free to at any time for anything that you want to tell us, let us know. Other than that, we'll see you next time.
Later.
Bye.